Justin Martyr was born and lived in the early 2nd century. That's so close to the time of Christ, only 70 or so years after the death of Jesus. That's only one lifetime. In fact, when he was born around the year 100 or just after, very likely John the Apostle, the beloved disciple who heard Jesus say from the cross, "Behold your mother," was either still alive or had only recently died. You know, I think, how old ideas don't have so much credibility in the modern world, because we tend to think that the more recent the idea, the more value it has. But the teaching of someone like Justin Martyr is incredibly important to us because it is so early. It tells us how believers understood Christ right from the beginning. Justin Martyr, whom we honor today, was an apologist. We even still have two of his apologias, or apologies. Now, this does not, of course, mean that Justin apologized for the faith. He didn't go around saying to people, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I'm a Christian." In fact, it's the opposite. An apology is a defense of the Christian faith. It is a reasoned and rational explanation or argument for the truth of Jesus Christ and faith in him as the resurrected Son of God. Justin Martyr was also a martyr. Martyr is not his last name. It is his identity, his entry into the kingdom of God. He and his companions were killed because they were Christians. Notice how early this new faith had come to the attention of Rome. Like Jesus, executed by the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, they were killed because they refused to compromise on the truth of God. Like Jesus, they were totally law-abiding citizens, no threat to the governing Romans, yet killed because they had come to recognize that nothing they could do or have in this world has the abiding value of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and worshiping him as God and no one else. The Pharisees and the Herodians, who hated each other, got together to trap Jesus. Unlike the martyrs, they began by flattering him with words that they did not believe themselves. That's why it tells us that they were hypocrites. "We know that you teach the way of God in accordance with truth," they said. But listen to what Justin says to the Roman ruler when his life was on the line. "We have come not to flatter you by this writing, nor please you by our address. You can kill us, but you cannot hurt us." Those Christians had a crystal clear understanding of what was worth living for and what was worth dying for. Jesus himself gave us that clarity. Those who came to accuse Jesus had two things kind of muddled together: how to do what was required under the civil law of the ruling Romans while still at the same time obeying the commandments of God. They were confused about this. But listen to Justin Martyr. "And everywhere we, more readily than all other people, endeavor to pay to those appointed by you the taxes, both ordinary and extraordinary, as we have been taught by him," by Jesus. "For at that time some came to him," this is still Justin Martyr, "for at that time some came to him and asked him if one ought to pay tribute to Caesar. And he answered, 'Tell me, whose image does the coin bear?' And they said, 'Caesar's.' And again he answered them, 'Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And so to God alone we render worship, but in other things we gladly serve you, acknowledging you as kings and rulers of men.'" So Justin uses today's gospel passage in his apology, and so must we. The coin of the realm, the requirements of the government. God doesn't want those things, so we give them to the emperor, to those rulers of our time and in our country. God does want our hearts, so let us give those to him. It's almost that simple. All this week, the first reading is from the book of Tobit. What an inspiring part of God's word. Tobit is righteous and faithful. Like us, though, he loses his way when life takes a horrible turn. Like Justin Martyr, Tobit had put his life at risk by doing works of justice, including burying those who had been killed for their faith. However, it seems that Tobit has not observed a useful worldly wisdom. Don't let birds poop in your eyes. Personally, I'm quite conscious of this when I look up in the sky as birds are going by. In the process, Tobit becomes blind, and a lot like the woman who just wanted to touch the hem of Jesus' robe, the doctors could not help. In fact, they made his condition worse. In his frustration and discouragement, Tobit calls his wife a liar. But with what wonderful wisdom, Anna, his wife, challenges him. You, who have done so many good deeds, where is your righteousness now when you accuse me? In a way, Tobit's accusation of his wife is the same as the accusation of the Roman ruler against the Christians, essentially because it's false. The difference is that Tobit immediately recognizes the falseness in his own heart. Then, with much grief and anguish of heart, he wept and, with groaning, began to pray, it says. So the truth of God must turn us, our hearts, towards him in our prayer, and even our grief at our own wrongdoing when it occurs. Our lives must be evidence of Jesus Christ crucified and raised again. Psalm 112 today celebrates the righteous person who imitates God in showing mercy and care for the poor, one who delights in God's law. This one will not be afraid of evil tidings, it says. A better translation for us, or more clear translation, is that this person will not be afraid of bad news. We never get bad news, do we? Why is the psalmist not afraid of bad news? It's because he trusts in the Lord. Today, you and I are asked again to give an apology for Jesus Christ, for our faith. Live a righteous life, and there is no need to be afraid, trusting him at all times, even when we hear bad news, and even when we are accused by the world around us. Shall we do 2,000 years after Christ what Justin did only 100 years after Christ? Shall we give to the emperors of this world what belongs to them, but give to God what is God's? And what do we have that belongs to God? All the love songs of the world tell us over and over again, it's our hearts. I will give the last word to the saint we honor today. He says, "It is in our power when we are examined to deny that we are Christians. But we would not live by telling a lie. For impelled by the desire of the eternal and pure life, we seek the home that is with God, the Father and Creator of all. We hasten to confess our faith, no matter what the consequences. We are not afraid."